Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Your Ben Jarofsky show is just moments away. But before we get into that, yeah, we need to thank the following unions for jumping on board and sponsoring our program. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, not Aerosmith. Local 126 and District 8 are sponsors. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9. The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. And of course, today's Ben Jarofsky show, hour number two as well, is brought to you by our good friends at the Chicago Federation of Labor.
Wise men.
Yeah, that's my favorite Elvis song.
Say only fools rush in. I love that song. And I can't help. I love Elvis, man. That's something a blogger and I have in common.
The Ben Jarofsky show starts now. It is Wednesday, February 19th. And live from the Chicago Sun-Times Chicago Reader Studio on Racine Avenue, this is The Ben Jarofsky Show. Today on the program, legendary Chicago journalist Monroe Anderson returns. We welcome legendary Chicago musician Billy Branch. And also making his return, committeeman Peter Janko. And now your host, Ben, flip that buttermilk carton around. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this, what else? Blago Wednesday. And here's why. Everywhere I go these days, or everywhere I go for the last 24 hours, D, it's Blago. The story was breaking yesterday as we came on the air. We talked a lot about it yesterday. Now we've had 24 hours to marinate in, and there's even more to talk about. Of course, let's go back to the basics. President Donald John Trump commuted the sentence of former Governor Rob Blagojevich, who was in jail, federal prison, for he was sentenced to for 14 years. He'd already spent 8 years in prison for extensionally extorting money or attempting to extort money from people who do business with the state of Illinois or people who are interested in filling the vacancy created when Barack Obama, the Senate vacancy created when Barack Obama went to the White House. All right. That's what he went to prison for. And I must start by saying this. I said it yesterday. I've said it before. Donald John Trump was right. Yes, indeed, D. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth, but Donald John Trump was right to commute the sentence. 8 years is more than enough for the crimes that Blago committed. I say that even though so many of my brothers and sisters in the journalistic business are outraged. I think that Donald John Trump was right. 8 years was more than enough for the charges against Blago. That said, good God, Blago looks great. Can you believe it, D? Last night, my wife and I were out. We're eating a dinner in a bar, and up on the TV above the bar was the TV. The sound was down, and there was Blago in the, I think, the airport in Denver on his way home to Chicago. And my wife was like, good God, man, he looks as fit as a fiddle. He was like, he was in great shape. His hair, of course, was freaking perfect. By the way, time for a little a headline battle here. We'd like to do this on the Ben Jarofsky show. We compare headlines on big news of the day between the Sun-Times and the Tribune.
I love headline battle.
Headline battle's a great game. And I just have to say, more often than not, I believe my beloved Bright One is the winner of headline battle. But more often than not, Dennis weighs in with the Tribune.
I think in the podcast world, you would call it Battle of the Headlines. It's more of a segment name.
Wow, battle of the headlines.
Check it.
Anyway,
battle of the headlines.
So which one do you want first? I like the word. So which one do you want first, Tribune or Sun Times?
Lay it on with the Tribune.
Okay, here's the Chicago Tribune headline, and I'll try to get through it. Keep in mind, I didn't get much sleep last night, so I hope I make it through without falling asleep. Here's the headline. Is the camera working?
Yes.
Okay. Blagojevich released from federal prison. Trump commutes ex-governor's 14-year sentence.
I like that. Mm-hmm. To the point. You know what you're getting into when you read it. Good job, Tribune.
Okay. Here's my beloved Bright One, home delivered every day. By the way, the Tribune's home delivered, too. Here we go. All right. With a picture of Blagojevich looking great. Fit as a fiddle, as my wife said.
Here, let me. Oh, yeah. Read it, and I'll show everybody okay. on the camera.
A free Maine. A lot of people are not like, I don't get it, man. Mane, like a mane of hair. You know, Rod's got great hair. A free man, a free mane. You put the E in the end of it. Who are these geniuses? They're like poets. These poets, these headline writer poets. And then underneath is the informational headline that you love. Disgraced ex-governor Rod Blagojevich released from prison after President Trump commutes 14-year sentence. So it's like the attention grabber right underneath the picture of Rod Blagojevich looking fit as a fiddle. And then my favorite, this has absolutely nothing to do nothing. There's a kid in the background going, oh my God, what's going on? Anyway.
Looks like Macaulay Culkin.
It does. Anyway, I think Dennis agrees the Sun-Times wins.
No,
again.
No. Chicago, you know, you get caught in a little corner when you do these puns, you know, and then you got to top yourself with the next pun and yeah. Free Maine. I don't know, guys. Maybe free. Jumping the shark there.
I was free Maine in Paris.
Oh,
sorry,
boy.
That's a song from the 60s, I want to say. Anyway, he looked great.
Chicago Sun-Times, quite the pun issuers.
Speaking of great, let's give a shout out to Justin Horowitz, our guest on the show yesterday. This is while the news was breaking.
Horowitz,
political strategist. I know he's listening out there right now. He was absolutely right on target. He explained the play. Here's the play, people. All right, I know you're thinking, like, so all you Trump lovers are out there. Well, he let him go because of, for humane reasons. Negatory. He let him go because he knew that Rob Blagojevich was going to be a very potent and powerful weapon in his reelection campaign. And no sooner said than done. Just like Justin said. Justin said on the show yesterday, you watch. Blagojevich is going to immediately go on the attack, attacking Democrats, praising Trump, talking about how Trump is a champion of criminal justice reform and how Trump is releasing people who have been unfairly and unjustly sentenced to long years in prison, probably call themselves political prisoners. You know what I'm saying? Like Trump is some kind of liberator and Trump's the real reformer. He goes, you watch. And it's going to be a pitch essentially to black voters. Coupled with, remember that Super Bowl ad? Justin didn't mention this, but there was a Super Bowl ad that Trump aired, which showed Alice Marie Johnson, a black woman from Memphis, Tennessee, who was he released. He commuted her sentence on a drug trafficking charge to show that he had great sympathy for black people. It was part of it. This is part of his effort to win over the black vote. And Justin predicted that that's the whole purpose of releasing Blagojevich early. And sure enough, Rod Blagojevich delivered. Dee's got some tape of the press conference that Blagojevich held at his house today. All the reporters, like classic Chicago press crew, get there. They're driving down Wilson Avenue, just not far from where Young Dennis lives, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, you live about.
Don't give everybody my specific address.
I won't give the specific address, but if you just want to stop in someday, ding dong, hi Dee, I'm here. Dennis lives about maybe. A three quarters of a mile to the west of where Blago lives. Anyway, all the reporters were there. Blago came out on the porch where he always gives these press statements, and he just flawlessly extolled the virtues, in quotes, of Donald John Trump. So, yes, you were right, Justin. That was the play. The play was to turn Blagojevich into, what does he call himself? A Trumpocrat. And now he's going to pretend as though Donald Trump is the reformer.
Oh, my God. I hope that doesn't catch on.
This is what I say. Justin and I have a little disagreement on this one. Justin thinks it'll work. I don't think it'll work. I have more confidence in the voters. Now, I'm older than Justin, so I should be the cynical, jaded one who believes that the voters are so simple-minded that they'll fall for anything. It should be me who's saying that. And Justin, he's young. He's idealistic. He should believe that voters have more sense. But Justin, I don't think it's going to work. I'm just putting that out there. I think the voters are too smart to fall for it. I'll tell you what else that was on my mind. I couldn't sleep last night. You want to know why, D? I'll tell you why.
Can't sleep last night, can't talk this morning.
I think there's a correlation. I was so excited to see what the Tribune was going to say about this one. I was up reading a book, waiting for that little, the sound of the newspaper landing on my front porch at about 4:30 in the morning. This is what I heard. That was the sound. Wait, it's more like three newspapers, so hold on. The sound of the...
Oh, my goodness.
No, but actually, now that I think about it, they don't arrive at the same time. So it's like, boom, boom, boom. That's the sound I heard. I rushed outside. I took the Chicago Tribune. I read Johnny Cass. I read the editorial page because, okay, just so you know, the Tribune's editorial page and John Cass share a common passion. They can't stand Blagojevich. They think Blagojevich is the epitome of all that's wrong with Illinois and Democratic politics. At the same time, they wear the MAGA hat. They're huge Trump supporters. They love Donald John Trump. All right. So I was like, all right, how are they going to work their way around this baby? It's their hero, their leader, the guy that the shot caller who let Blago out of prison. They let the man that they say is the symbol of all that's wrong in Illinois. So how do they do it? Well, they just did it a very skillful way, D. They just kind of avoided mentioning Trump. On and on and on about how horrible Blago is. At some point, the Tribune mentioned, Donald Trump commuted his sentence. Then back to all how horrible Blago is. This is going to be so funny to think about the Tribune and their right-wing columnists joining forces with Blagojevich. Help reelect Donald Trump. I'm just looking forward to those rallies. They're all wearing their little MAGA hats on stage with Donnie Trump. Let me just say this. What Donald Trump did was not just out of feeling the goodness of his heart because he felt compassion for Blagojevich and his family. Oh, no. He had 2 points. One, Blagojevich and he shared the same enemies, essentially the same federal prosecutors who sent Blagojevich to prison. Were the ones who were going after Trump. So it was important to undercut their case by showing somehow or other that Blagojevich was an innocent victim. And Blagojevich will be playing that theme. Dennis will have the tape in a little while ago. So it's that was part number one. Part number two was to set up probably for the pardoning of Roger Stone and other felons in the Trump administration or in the Trump universe. That's probably to come. And then third, essentially, Trump and Blagojevich were accused of the same crime, extortion. In the case of Blagojevich, it was extorting campaign funds from people who did business with the state. And in the case of Donald John Trump, it was extorting a comment from the president of Ukraine that they were investigating Joe Biden. It was extortion. So if Donald Trump minimizes the offense of extortion by letting Blagojevich go, well, why? How can you hold Trump accountable for the same crimes? Very simple. So now extortion is no longer a crime in Donald Trump's universe. I want everybody to think about this. Donald Trump, let's see, he has defied congressional subpoenas. He has ordered that White House aides not testify in congressional hearings. He has denounced in tweets by name prosecutors, witnesses. He's fired people in the White House who've dared to appear before Congress and testify under oath. He's punished them. He's attempted to intimidate anybody who would dare to speak out against him. He has attempted to intimidate the Congress people who dared to investigate him. This is gross abuse of power. Not one word from the Tribune. Not one word from the right. Not one word from the Republicans. Meanwhile, they're outraged. Outraged, I tell you, at Kim Fox for Smollettgate. Outraged. I wonder what Blagojevich's position will be on Kim. You know, Blagojevich was, we're going to get into this when he starts talking on about injustices in the world and how he's a political
person. Maybe he watched that Empire show while he was, you know, in the slammer.
Yeah, I bet you there's that one.
I like that show.
I wonder if Blagojevich is going to join the Tribune and Trump in calling for the ouster of Kim Fox. Strange bedfellows these days. Politics is always interesting in the city of Chicago. Meanwhile, J.B. Pritzker is giving a budget address. He's dealing with the real substantial problems that the state of Illinois faces to a large degree because of the ineptitude, incompetence, corruption of Rob Blagojevich and Bruce Rauner. Oh, my God. Poor J.B. Pritzker. Nobody's paying attention. The general attitude is boring. Let's go back to Blago, Blago, Blago. Anyway, we're going to talk about it all. We're going to talk about Blago, Blago, Blago. And Pritzker, 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 and a lot of other things. But first, wait a minute. I have to say who's on the show today. Oh, we have a great show today.
Can you please get sleep before the show? I know you think it's cute, but it's not.
I got about 2 hours.
Oh, guys.
I got 2 hours, man. Monroe Anderson will be here. Billy Branch will be here. And Peter Jenk will be here as well. But first, the news with the doctor, the young man from Alton, Illinois, that they call Dr. Doobie.
How's it going, everybody? I got about 8 hours of sleep last night.
Fresh as a daisy.
You're in good hands with the doctor, all right? More Blago bailout fallout. But first, yes, we have to talk about our current governor, J.B. Pritzker's 2020 budget address.
It's been more than a decade since the last contribution was made to the Rainy Day Fund, and it was almost entirely wiped out in 2017 under my predecessor. The budget I am introducing today begins to restore it, dedicating $100 million to the Rainy Day Fund over the next 16 months.
Huh? Okay. Stop. You know what? On second hand, let's talk about Blago.
Oh, come on. The Rainy Day Fund is important.
Sorry, Pritzker. The governor from about a decade ago is getting top billing. By the way, you may want to get used to that for a little bit. All right. Free at last. Free at last. Thank Trump almighty. He's free at last.
That's good.
Former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich's 14-year sentence has been commuted. As we mentioned, Blago held a press conference outside of his Chicago home today. We have the audio. Shout out to the Washington Post for that. Let's unpack this press conference. Let's not waste any more time here. And hey, what do you know? We begin with a little out of jail humor.
It's been a long time since I've shaved with a normal razor, and it takes a little practice. I'm sorry about that. I got to keep dabbing.
So I have to apologize for his tardiness. He couldn't find where I put his socks this morning.
Lots changed in the nearly 8 years that I've been here.
That was good.
That's a little out of jail humor from Rob Blagojevich. So he cut himself shaving and he was dabbing.
It was got a little gross there about 20 minutes into it. He'd pull up and dab his chin and napkin was like bloody as hell.
That's happened to me, so I can really relate with him. You don't have to worry about it because you never shave.
Well, I shave my head, I shave my neck. So
valid point.
We want to express our most profound and everlasting gratitude to President Trump. How do you properly thank someone who's given you back the freedom that was stolen from you? He didn't have to do this. He's a Republican president. I was a Democratic governor. And doing this does nothing to help his politics. President Trump is a man who is tough and outspoken, but he also has a kind heart. And this is an act of kindness, and I also believe it's the beginning of the process to actually turn an injustice into a justice.
Wow. Let's just unpack that. By the way, this is to say, Blago is a master of the art of BS. He's always been. I followed his career since he was a state rep back in the day. His congressional office was just down the street from me, D. And he, of course, his career was launched, just to remind everybody, by former Alderman Richard Mell, former powerful Democratic committeeman Richard Mell. He's Richard Mell's son-in-law. And so he owes his career in politics to the Democratic machine. Just always remember that, folks, okay? And he's just a master at the art of BS. So just think about what he said. He's thanking Donald Trump, and this doesn't help him in any way with his politics. And then he goes on to say how Trump is wise, and Trump is tough, and Trump but has a great heart, totally helping Trump with his politics. Justin was right, people. This is all about politics. Donald Trump released Rob Blagojevich from prison precisely because He knew Rob Blagojevich would become an advocate for him in his reelection campaign. Rob Blagojevich is essentially put on the MAGA hat. And he is just going to go around testifying to Trump and saying what a great guy Trump's doing. And he's going to say he's doing it as a Democrat. The whole point is like
Trumpocrat.
He's a Trumpocrat. So the whole point is that there's going to be people dumb enough to fall for it. And I got to say this. This is the big divide between me and Justin. Justin says he thinks it's going to work because the people of the state of Illinois, he's so cynical to be so young. But I say they're too smart to fall for it. But I don't know. He's so good. Just listening to Blago right there. On one hand say Trump gains nothing politically from this. And then with the second breath shows you exactly what Trump gets for it politically. Masterful job, Blago.
Patty, and for me, I spent my first 32 months in prison, nearly 3 years, behind what the inmates call the razor wire, the barbed wire fence. You can't go near that fence. If you do, there are prison guards there armed with machine guns who have the discretion to shoot you. I didn't go near that fence. The buildings behind that fence where the inmates live and sleep are squalid places. They're cold and dark like tombs. There were about 900 inmates there. Drug dealers, cartel members, gangbangers, bank robbers. There were men there who committed murder, con artists, a lot of sex offenders. About 2% of the population were in the so-called white-collar category. For most of my time there, my home was a 6-foot by 8-foot prison cell with 4 cement walls, a big, heavy iron door that can shut you in, a small window with bars on it, and a bunk bed. I slept on the top bunk.
Well, you know, prison's no joke. And this, again, folks.
He called top bunk.
He got top bunk. By the way, all the people in prison, he mentioned con artists, of which he is one. Although you just don't go to prison if you're just a con artist. You got to be caught. And, you know, he was pretty much caught, folks. I hate to say it. I mean, he did shake down people. Now, whether you believe he deserved 14 years is a whole other issue. I don't believe he deserved 14 years. But, you know, yes, it's true. Life is very tough in prison. That's absolutely true. But he did do the crime. I'm just saying. What's that old line, D? If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. So now he's there crying about it, how rough it is in prison. Hey, man, no one told you to shake down the hospital operators who are looking for state contracts. Nobody told you to shake down all the different Democratic wannabes who wanted a Barack Obama seat. Nobody told you to do that. You know, so, I mean, I hear you. It's really tough in prison. And there's a lot of people who are unjustly in prison, particularly for those drug laws, which, by the way, you did absolutely nothing to fight when you had the power to do something about it, Rob Blagojevich. I didn't see you pushing to say legalize reefer. No, now that you're out, you're a big believer, having experienced prison, you're a big believer in the need to have criminal justice reform. I appreciate that. I remember Chuck Colson in the Nixon White House was the same way. But when you had power, you didn't do anything about it. So I have a hard time really feeling sorry for the guy because he did the crime.
Often late at night, I would look through that window and past those bars out into the night sky, and I think of home. I think of my children. I think of Patty. Sometimes I could almost
hear my uncle.
I would say to myself, one day I'll make it back to you. And hold your hand, sweetheart.
Woman of substance.
And I would remember what a gracious thing it's been to walk through life with you.
Wow. I'll tell you what, folks. You listen to that, now you know why you elected him twice. Not once, but twice as your governor. And the second time around, it was pretty obvious he was up to no good. You elected him anyway. The man is pretty good at giving a speech, D. He's standing up. One more time. Dude just got out of federal prison. Think about it. Think about this, folks. He just got finished telling you how rough it is. Talk about the wire, the barbed wire, the razor wire, the guards with the machine guns, the little block that he's living in. You know, it talks about how horrific it was. But he's just like orating without a, there's no, I don't have the video. Does he even have notes? Is he just speaking? Yeah.
Riffing.
I'll just say this about Rob Blagojevich. He's truly gifted. He's one of the most gifted con artists I've seen in a long, long time.
So again, on behalf of Patty and Amy and Annie and me, we want to again express our deepest gratitude to President Trump.
Like
I said, as a Republican president and a Democratic governor, he didn't have to do this.
Yeah, no.
But President Trump is not a typical politician.
That's right.
He's tough.
He's outspoken. He gets things done. He's a problem solver in a business where too many politicians don't want to solve problems. All they want to do is play politics.
Oh, he never plays politics.
He's got a, I'm a Trumpocrat.
The Trumpocrat, that's right.
Are you going to vote for him? Every time
if I have the ability to vote, I'm going to vote for him. Well, I don't know that they'll allow me to vote, but I'll get into that in a minute. But let me just say that...
Make Chicago great again.
There it is.
He's tough and outspoken, and he has the courage to challenge the old way.
That's right.
He's the one who's actually fighting to bring real change. That's why he gets so much pushback. But notwithstanding being tough, he's also a man with a kind heart.
Hey, Rod, you don't have to suck up to him anymore. You're out. You can do whatever you want. You're free. By the way, this one more time. All they do. Listen to how he contrasts Trump from everybody else. All they do, he says, they being presumably the Democrats, do is play politics. As if he isn't playing politics at that very moment. This is all political games, people. Remember what Justin told you yesterday. This is the play, all right? Donald Trump released Rod Blagojevich precisely because he wanted Rod Blagojevich to go on the stump and say exactly what Rod Blagojevich is saying right there. Rod Blagojevich is paying Trump back. Now, if Trump released him just out of the goodness of his heart because he thought it was the right thing to do, that 14 years is too much, then Rod Blagojevich was simply, all he had to do was say, thank you, Donald Trump, and then leave the limelight. Man, this is payback time, and it's all political, folks. Don't be dumb. Come on. Rod Blagojevich pretty much admitted he's a con artist. Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't say, I, Rod Blagojevich, am a con artist. He said, they're con artists behind bars. Folks, you all know in the state of Illinois, city of Chicago, that Rod Blagojevich is a master of the con game. He's playing it right now.
He sees wrong and he tries to right it, just like he did in the case of Alice Marie Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know who she is, the grandmother from Alabama who served 21 years in prison on a life sentence as a first-time nonviolent drug offender. A life sentence as a first-time nonviolent drug offender.
The first step, let alone.
Alice Marie Johnson's case is probably one of the better illustrations that shows how the federal criminal justice system disproportionately discriminates against African Americans and people of color, and how the 1994 crime bill has led to the over-sentencing and to the creation of what the author Michelle Alexander has called the new Jim Crow in America.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's right. Dump the Clintons.
All right, there you go. Michelle Alexander, folks, you should know this. She wrote a book, The New Jim Crow in America. It was one of the most important books of our time in terms of talking about how the Clinton crime bill and the war on drugs have incarcerated thousands and thousands of African Americans in this country, have really have destroyed families, destroyed lives, destroyed communities. It's a very important book. It is a book, of course, that Donald Trump has, his entire life has been in opposition to all of the changes that Michelle Alexander has called for. It's beyond irony at this particular moment that Rod Blagojevich would invoke that book and those themes and her powerful assault on the criminal justice system to extol the virtues of Donald Trump. Only an electorate that isn't paying attention, that is completely susceptible to a con game, would fall for it. But that's the game that's being played at this moment.
1994 crime bill passed by my fellow Democrats before I got to Congress. Fortunately, as soon as President Trump learned of the injustice against Alice Marie, he immediately put a stop to it and he sent her home to her family. And fortunately, because this is a president who gets things done, through his leadership and with the help of organizations like Cut 50, President Trump was able to build the necessary bipartisan support to pass the historic First Step Act, a new law that begins the process of reforming a broken criminal justice system and putting an end to the racist injustice caused by that racist 1994 crime bill. Now, as for me, obviously, I've got 10,000 reasons to be thankful to President Trump. I'm obviously thankful to be home, to have my freedom back, to just be able to hold my wife's hand. But most of all, I'm thankful to you, Mr. President, for giving my daughters their father back. My daughters are growing up, and the day is not too far off when they will go out into the world on their own. Now I wish I could slow down time. But no matter where their life's journey may lead, they will always take with them the realization that the kindest gift they've ever received in their lives came from you. Thank you, Mr. President, for what you've done for me, but better, far, far better, thank you for what you've done for them.
Wow. Coming to a Trump commercial sometime soon. And remember, this is not political, right? This is not political in any way. You know, mentioning Michelle Alexander, likening himself to black political prisoners. This is not political in any way. Rob Blagojevich is just speaking from his heart. Donald Trump, the liberator. Monroe Anderson has entered the building. We'll see if Monroe Anderson, we got to play some of this stuff for Monroe. See if he too is convinced by the rhetoric, the passionate speech of Rob Blagojevich. Maybe Monroe, who's been consistently critical of Donald Trump, will now say, Ben, I was wrong. Rob Blagojevich was right. Donald Trump is a liberator of black people. By the way, I just want to point out, we had Sparky Rose on the show last week. He's an expert in all things marijuana. Donald Trump and the Trump administration are the ones who continue to make marijuana a federal offense. There's people still in federal prison because it's against the law. The federal law, no matter what they do in Illinois, it's against the law in this country to possess marijuana. OK, so if Donald Trump really was a believer in the criminal justice reform, he would legalize marijuana on a federal level. That would we do right now and then let people out of prison who are unjustly in prison for this corrupt war on drugs. Now, by the way, if he did that, I would really welcome. I don't even care what political ramifications there would be. Monroe Anderson, I would be like Rob Blagojevich. I would say, thank you, Mr. President.
Careful what you say, because he may do that.
Well, he may do it. You know what? And if that's what it takes to get some sensible changes in our drug policy, I would have to thank President. I don't know if I would vote for him, but I still have to thank him.
All right, we got one more piece of audio to play from Rob Blagojevich's press conference this afternoon. Let's hear it. Wait a minute. What is this?
Well, we didn't get it right the last time.
It's a Bloomberg ad. How'd this get in there? G20. This guy's everywhere.
I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I approve this message.
Oh, my God. What the hell? Can't escape this Bloomberg. You got in the middle of my... All right, here we go.
I'd like to thank a few people real quick. I'd like to thank my old friend, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, for his voice and for his help and for his support. Yeah. I want to thank my friend and former colleague in the Congress, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., for his friendship and his support. I want to thank Patty's dad, for Alderman Mel, Richard Mel, for his love and support to our daughters and to his daughter, Patty. I want to thank this mystery man, a young man who brought all this about. I just met him yesterday, and this is Mark Vargas. He's quite a guy, and he's the kind of guy who can get you out of prison if you find yourself stuck there. And I'm really grateful to his efforts and what he's done on my behalf. The scriptures teach us, and history shows, that in the long run, right defeated will in the end overcome wrong triumphant. And as Dr. Martin Luther King used to say, truth crushed to earth will one day rise again, because no lie can live forever. I'm returning home today from a long exile, a freed political prisoner.
Wow. Oh, my God. Let's just, first of all, thanking Jesse Jackson and Jesse Jackson Jr. I just want to point out that Jesse Jackson, he wasn't so nice about Jesse Jackson Jr. back in 2008 when he was wheeling and dealing with the Obama White House, or the incoming Obama White House, if you will, to try to figure out what he could get from Jesse Jackson Jr. to appoint him to fill the vacancy as senator in Illinois. So it's interesting. Now he loves Jesse Jackson Jr.
He had a lot of time to think about it.
He had 8 years to think about it. You're right, Monroe. That's interesting. He's like thanking every black person in the world he can, because I just want to tell you folks one more time, this is the play. Rob Blagojevich's job from here on out is to be an advocate for Donald John Trump in the black community. Somehow or other, they've decided that the way to get black voters to vote for Donald John Trump is to have Rod Blagojevich, like in his situation, his Rod Blagojevich, who was in federal prison for shaking people down to what? Nelson Mandela? Martin Luther King in the Birmingham jail?
No, he was quoting the new Jim Crow.
Yeah, we talked about that. Michelle Alexander and Rod Blagojevich are allies. So now he's somehow dragging Michelle Alexander into this game.
Who I bet $100 would not agree with him one bit.
You know, I just read the, it's funny you should say that, I just read the postscript, or the new introduction to her book that just came out in paperback. And she's ripping Trump, okay? But now, somehow or other, Rob Blagojevich has dragged her into this. And I just want to say one thing. I didn't hear a shout-out to Leonard Goodman. Nope. Leonard Goodman is the lawyer here in the city of Chicago. He comes on this show from time to time. He's left of center. He's even left of where I am.
Wait, I think I hear a bus pulling up in the city of Chicago.
Yep, there we go. Throw Leonard under the bus. So anybody who believes that Rob Blagojevich is for real, the guy who fought the hardest to get him out of prison didn't get a shout out. Richard Mell got a shout out. Richard Mell was the guy to start the investigation by alerting people to the fact that Rob Blagojevich was up to no good. Billy Branch is in the studio. He's been around Chicago. He knows what I'm talking about. He remembers all this stuff. So it's funny. I just did not hear a shout out to Leonard Goodman. Maybe Leonard's too left. Isn't that what happened to lefties? You usually throw lefties under the bus, D. So it's interesting. He's thanking Jesse Jackson. He's thanking Jesse Jackson Jr. He's, you know, talking about Michelle Alexander. He didn't mention Nelson Mandela. I'm surprised he didn't get around to Nelson Mandela. But Leonard Goodman, now one word for Leonard Goodman.
Well, if that does happen, Leonard, you always have a home here in the Ben Jarofsky Show. We'll throw you on the microphone and you can talk all about it. So there it was, everybody.
He didn't thank Barack Obama for giving up the seat to begin with.
No, he didn't. By the way, none of this would happen. Barack Obama had just simply commuted Blagojevich's sentence back in 2016, which a lot of the Blagojeviches were really hoping he would do that.
Yeah.
We would not have Rob Blagojevich as a salesperson for Donald John Trump.
Except he's not going to be much of a salesperson.
All right, we're
except for the great uneducated. No black person is into Blagojevich.
All right, we will have that discussion when we return. Monroe Anderson is here. Billy Branch is here. We're going to be talking about, will black people be convinced to vote for Donald John Trump having heard Rod Blagojevich sing his praises? We have some people who've already come on the show who said, yes, they will. I say they won't. We'll see what Billy Branch and Monroe Anderson have to say on the subject when we return.
Read the Chicago Reader to get up to speed on what's what in Chicago. Culture, food, arts and entertainment, weekly concert listings, weekly event listings, the environment, travel. I can continue, but you get the point. And for all of you Chicago political junkies, raw weekly columns on real city politics from Maya Dukmasova and our very own Ben Jarofsky. The Chicago Reader, free to the public in newsstands throughout the city and online at chicagoreader.com. Read it now and be a more informed Chicagoan.
How did you go from sharing stories over the years to deciding to write a book?
Good question, Mayor. Good question.
Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear are the piano stylings of Jeff Manuel. Man, listen to Jeff go. Jeff Manuel has been playing piano around Chicago for years. He's played for conventions, for celebrities, played in basement bars with blues bands. He's played at prestigious social clubs, fine restaurants, and in the intimacy of private homes. Book Jeff Manuel at jeffmanuelpianist.com. Don't worry, I'll spell his name at the end of this commercial. You know what Chicago Magazine said? They said that Jeff Manuel is, quote, as comfortable with Chopin as he is with Cole Porter. He's excellent and his performance is joyous. He offers an elegant stream of compositions and interpretations that entertains the mind but won't hurt the ears. To hear more of Jeff Manuel's work and to book Jeff for your next event, go to jeffmanuelpianist.com. I'm going to spell it out for you people. J-E-F-F. M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, U, E, L, P, I, A, N, I, S, T .com. Take it away, Jeff Manuel.
Woo!
commercial break over. Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show, live from the Chicago Sun-Times.
We're talking Blago, 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 Trump. We'll get into Bernie. We'll get into Bloomberg. The debates tonight. We've been talking Blago and his new role as pitchman for Donald Trump. I forgot completely. There's a Democratic debate tonight, and Bloomberg will be in the debate. Oh, my God. There's so much political stuff erupting here. I don't know where to begin. My guest, Monroe Anderson, he comes in every Wednesday. And my other guest, this is a great moment for the Ben Jarofsky Show, his Ben Jarofsky Show debut, Billy Branch. Welcome to the show,
Ben. All right. Thanks, Ben. Good to be here.
Those are some serious pipes, ladies and gentlemen. That man's got a radio voice. Right. Monroe, you're going to have to up your game.
I can't compete. And he plays a mean harmonica, too.
Yeah, before we get into the question of the day, and which I'll just one more time remind people, will black voters fall for this this game that Blago's playing, this pitch that Blago's making on behalf of Donald Trump? Billy Branch, why don't you just take a moment to introduce yourself to our audience? A lot of our listeners are music fans. They know about your musical career. Why don't you just take a little moment to introduce yourself?
Well, I've been leader of my band, Sons of Blues, for, God, over 40 years now. And, you know, we play around the Chicago area. We travel the globe. Matter of fact, I'm going back to the UK Sunday. We were scheduled to do a 3-week historical tour in China next month. Obviously, that ain't happening. Mm-hmm. But
coronavirus.
Yeah, I'm one of the, somewhat of a political animal. I got a BA in poli sci from University of Illinois. Back in, God, 74. Mm-hmm. It was a while back. And, you know, I follow politics a great deal, as well as my wife and a lot of my friends. I mean, Chicago, you can't help it.
Now, you're born and raised. You're Chicago. You weren't born here, but you're raised. You grew up in Chicago, right?
I was born here, raised in Los Angeles, and returned to go to U of I.
Mm-hmm. So you had the benefit of seeing the way the world worked in a different locale. In other words, most people born and raised in Chicago have a tendency just to view things, well, this is the way it is in Chicago. This is the way it'll always be because it was the way when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing, because Billy and I have been friends for a very long time, at least 30 years, maybe longer.
Right.
And I hang out with the blues musicians periodically. And and if you're out, if you're with a group of them and hear them talking, you realize these are world class people. I mean, they've traveled all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so they know national politics, local politics, and international politics. I mean, those that know. And Billy is one of those. I mean, like he said, he's played many foreign countries.
Yeah. And like you said, you grew up in L.A.
Right.
So is the Chicago view of the world, like that cynical, corrupt view of the world, prevalent everywhere you go? Do you see it everywhere you go, or is it just unique to Chicago?
Well, it's very strong in Chicago. You know, in L.A., I left when I was 17, and I didn't have a keen political awareness. You know, I was developing, you know, and then in college, of course, that's where a lot of your political views are nurtured and you know, as they grow. But it's Chicago's pretty well known for its politics. You know, first thing they'll say, a lot of times in foreign countries in Europe, they'll say, Al Capone. You know, and then they'll say blues, and then they'll say politics. Yeah. So,
yeah, on celebration, the city was in celebration on Sunday. Monroe's not a sports fan, but the All-Star game was in the city of Chicago. And I like when Chicago wants to put the best view of itself forward, you know what I mean? They'll talk about all the great, well, in this case, they were talking about all the great musicians that came from Chicago and the great legacy of music in the city of Chicago. Now, one word about political corruption, not one word about tips, not one word about inside deals. You know, you would think it was Nirvana in the city of Chicago, but
well, compared to the White House, it is.
All right, let's get down to it. So, gentlemen, we just spent a good portion of the early part of the show listening to bits and pieces of Rob Blagojevich's comments that he made to the press that assembled outside of his house on the north side of Chicago. He was celebrating his release from prison. The Chicago Sun-Times story tells, the front page tells the whole story, Billy. A free Maine.
A free Maine.
Exactly.
That sounds like Muddy Waters.
A free white Maine.
I'm a Maine.
Right. A free white Maine.
I spell him. Hey, child.
Both of you are funny in your own way. A free Maine. Yes, that exactly Muddy Waters put a free white man because literally his hair is white.
Right.
My, right.
Oh, that would have been way better.
A free white man. But he is a white man and he is free.
Newspaper editors don't see color.
Yeah. unless they're black. So a free white man. He has now positioned himself by virtue of the 8 years he spent in federal prison to be an outspoken critic of our criminal justice system and an outspoken defender of Donald John Trump. I'm not making this up, Billy. I'm not making this up, Monroe. I just listened to him say
it. Oh, no, I listened to him up for a good 15 minutes.
All right. So your thoughts, your most general thoughts about him, Monroe.
He and Donald J. Trump are cut from the same cloth. And so they like simpatico, you know. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, Blagojevich still has not expressed any remorse whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He's still running around basically saying that he's innocent. Mm-hmm. That's why he got the 14 to begin with. Mm-hmm. If he would have been remorseful at the time of before sentencing, mm-hmm. when he was running around doing news conferences and showing up on game shows and what have you, claiming to be innocent. Mm-hmm. And the judge told him to chill out, and he ignored the judge. And so the judge says, okay, I'll have my word before mm-hmm. it's over. And that's why he got the 40, because the 14 years was too much. You know, I thought that even when it happened. But then I said, you mess with the judge and you get what you get.
Mm-hmm. Did you think it was too much, Billy?
Well, you know, the general perception is that it was. I'm not sure, but like Monroe said, you know, he was so blatantly, you know, he became like this caricature, you know, appearing on all the talk shows and kind of making a mockery of the whole thing. And I think that's what really... Why he got the book thrown at him, because the judge says, oh, now, wait a minute now. You know, I mean, we all understand white privilege, but you done gone, you went too far.
You're blowing it for other white people.
Yeah, you know, I got to draw the line here. So, you know.
Treat you like a black man.
Kind of.
They did not treat him like a black
man. No, not at all.
Okay, first of all, they sent him to the nice prison.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they let him out. He was out on a bond, so he was free until he was sentenced.
Right. No, I'm talking about at the sentence, the length of the sentence.
Okay. All right.
Well. I'm not talking about the treatment.
Yeah.
No. It's good to be a white privileged man in America.
Well, it is, and you know, you look at he's at the group that Trump's pardoning. He's fallen in. These are convicted felons, man. These aren't guys that were questionably innocent. These guys, they were all guilty. I mean, but, you know, a lot of people had empathy for him because they said he was a nice guy. I think he worked with some of the black community leaders. So they got, and you know, and the black folks are very forgiving. Very, very forgiving. I mean, you know, go back to George Wallace
He
ran for president. Black folks, a lot of them supported him.
Oh, the best example of that is with Dylann Roof. After he killed 9 people in the church, prayed with them, and then shot them and killed them, they said they forgave him right afterwards. If that had been one of my relatives, I wouldn't have been so quick to give.
Yeah.
Well, Billy, you make a very good point. We're obsessed here in Chicago with Rod Blagojevich and his case, but there were other people who Trump either pardoned or commuted, and they were white white crime criminals, if you will, and white people, if you will, including Bernard Kerik, former police official in New York City, Michael Milken, and who else? Ed DiBartolo, who owned the San Francisco 49ers. So white crime criminals,
right?
As opposed
wealthy,
to...
Wealthy, wealthy white men.
Yeah.
You know, the irony is that I heard the quote he said, This was really surreal when he says, the system is broken.
Yeah,
well,
right.
You're the example.
Right.
The system
wait,
is...
Wait, who you quote? Who
Trump.
Said that? Oh, Trump.
Lugoy,
yeah,
Trump. Said Lugoy, said that today.
Yeah, Lugoy.
He said, the system is broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot what
and
he
said. And I'm on work.
Tangent. Yeah,
the
right.
Fix, well, yeah, it's broken, but maybe not in the way that you're posturing that is. Broken.
Really, when you hear, when you think of the concept of the system is broken,
yeah,
how do you interpret that? What is broken about the system?
Broken to me is that if you don't have enough money, a lot of times you're not going to get a fair trial. And a lot of people have been railroaded, you know, black folks, minorities, poor folks, just because they didn't have access to credible legal source. They didn't have legal resources. And I mean, we all know people being put away for 20 and 30 years for a little pot or a little cocaine or, I mean,
yeah,
some
and,
people
and
gone
have,
for life, right. Man. And then these guys are doing all kinds
yeah,
of...
Yeah, and you have young men sitting in Cook County Jail right now who've been there for 2 years because they couldn't raise the bail.
Mm-hmm.
They
right.
couldn't afford to pay the bail. They haven't been convicted of anything,
right.
And they've already done 2 years.
Yeah, and let me just point out, there's so many bizarre ironies in all this. It came out in the Sun-Times that one, behind the scenes, one of the groups that was calling on Donald Trump to release Rob Blagojevich was the Fraternal Order Police here in the city of Chicago.
Whoa.
They were, yeah, it's in the Sun-Times.
Whoa.
Folks want to read it. They wrote a letter to Trump, and they have some influence with Trump. Kevin Graham, the head of the Fraternal Order Police, met with Trump. He was in the White House a while ago, and he was saying, you know, you should really release him. He spent too much time in prison. Let me just say this. I agree with the Fraternal Order Police on that point, Billy Branch and Monroe. I do agree that 8 years was enough, okay?
Right, right.
That said, it's interesting that same Fraternal Order Police and Donald Trump are leading the charge on a local level against Kim Fox because they think she's too nice.
See, that's
on people who are truly in prison because they can't pay their bail.
That's, right. Yeah, that's, that's a red flag right there because, you know, FOP, well, you know, FOP is FOP.
Right.
You know, that's a red flag.
So, I mean, if you believe in criminal justice reform, if you believe the system is broke, if you believe there are people who are unjustly in jail.
It's only broke when it doesn't continue to favor white men. That's when there must be something wrong with it. With black men, the system is quite fine. They're happy with it, except, well, they aren't putting enough of us in jail.
Hey, what is the, what's the movement called? You know, when they've gone and proven that people have been in prison for like 20 and 30. What's that project
Innocence
called?
Project?
The Innocence Project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a perfect case. I mean, look at how many lives have been destroyed. Innocent people, their whole lives. And it's interesting to me that most of the time when they are finally freed, these people, they show no bitterness. They show no desire for revenge. They're just so happy that finally that they were exonerated. Mm-hmm. But this happens, you know, probably a lot more than we're even aware of, mm-hmm. that people are, you know, innocently imprisoned and their lives and the lives of their family mm-hmm. are completely decimated.
Well, you know, speaking of that, we have a certain New York City former mayor who not only did the having black kids and men slammed up against the wall for a number of years, stopped and frisked. But with the Central Park Five, mm-hmm. like Trump, mm-hmm. he didn't want to see them compensated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you're talking about Michael Bloomberg. Of course, we're going to get into Michael Bloomberg. Right. I just want to follow up on something that, Billy, you just got finished saying.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this that story that you just described unfold many times,
right?
Where a man is let out of prison after years in jail, and mm-hmm. Tests have shown that he didn't do the crime, and they're largely unknown to the public. They're not celebrities like Rod Blagojevich. They don't mm-hmm. command the press. Like there may be one press conference when the right. person is released,
when they're released,
mm-hmm. and that's it. And mm-hmm. what they don't do is become political spokespeople for a politician. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you right now, that's the play here.
Mm-hmm.
Rod Blagojevich is now going to become a regular spokesperson for Donald Trump. He will be on the campaign trail. If necessary, he'll do commercials. His press conference today, I guarantee you, things that he said will be aired in Donald Trump commercials. I wouldn't be surprised if he cleared some of those things. The language was cleared with White House handlers. It was so perfectly tailored mm-hmm. to fit a Donald Trump commercial. This is an infomercial for Donald Trump, Monroe
Except
Anderson.
It's not going to reach black people. Blagojevich had a certain black following mm-hmm. in Chicago, mm-hmm. but it was self-interested politicians mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not going to have any impact. And once you get beyond Chicago, then nobody knows who, among black people, know who Blagojevich is.
Well, he was on that Apprentice show. So there may be people who, oh, that guy from Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a lot of people know Blagojevich as a celebrity from Apprentice, and as exactly. Billy was saying, he was on the David Letterman show.
Yeah,
and,
right. Mm-hmm. What was really good about that is he says to David, I've been wanting to get on your show in the worst way.
Yeah. Oh, and
you just did.
Right.
Billy, do you think it's going to work? Do you think black voters will vote for Donald Trump based on Rob Blagojevich's appeal?
You know, there's for whatever crazy reasons, every time you see the Trump rallies, you see these black folks in the background and you wonder, are they getting paid or what? But I think to a small degree, I don't think in mass black people are going to fall for that. Like I say, black folks are very forgiving, and a lot of times they base their allegiances on association. For example, when Rahm ran for mayor, I knew he was going to win because Obama, the connection. And the same thing, that's why Biden is enjoying that popularity. He's, Obama's vice president. So,
except Bloomberg is buying.
Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. We're trying to roll.
Yeah, but a lot of times, like I said, black folks are very forgiving, and there is a contingency that doesn't really scrutinize. That just kind of, they base their perceptions through the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a contingency of folks like that. Case in point, again, you always see these handful of black folks. You know, blacks for Obama, for Trump.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy. It's insane, but it exists. I don't think in mass, no.
I think
there'll be a few folks that will look at that as a, an endorsement. And
well, this is something that I observed over the years. I'm going to share this with you, coming out straight out of my mind. Get your thoughts on it, Monroe and Billy. And that is this: I've talked on the show many times about how when Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, whose whole career has been against affirmative action.
Right.
All right. Whole career is against. He's always believed that the country is a meritocracy, and anytime a black person asks for a position, anything that's breaking the meritocracy, you're taking
it. He's against it.
Yeah, he's against it. But when he was in trouble.
Yeah.
When they nailed him on a sexual harassment charges for Medina looks, Hill.
This feels sudden, like a lynch
it's
mob.
It's a lynching. Yeah. Suddenly he's black. And he's the.
And then he benefited from affirmative action for his education. So, I mean, hey, there it is.
I don't know if I mentioned this or not on your show before, but a friend of mine back in the 70s when she got married, Clarence came to her wedding. Mm. There's a photograph I saw, and he looked like a Black Panther back then. I mean, literally, like he was a member of the Black Panther Party. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year was this?
It was, 80s? It was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, Monroe, if you'd seen me back in the late 70s, you'd be surprised. Right. We all went through our changes.
Oh, yeah.
But. You are the new Rush Limbaugh.
No, I am not the new Rush Limbaugh. No.
he's the Rush Limbaugh of the left.
Yeah. That's why we're in this little room, hanging on by our fingernails. Billy, you know, when you're on the left, you hang on by your fingernails.
But one thing just came to me, if I might. You know, the whole thing with Burge.
Mm, John Burge, yeah.
Yeah. And that, to me, was really swept under the rug because he was never really held accountable. They gave him, you know, a slap on the wrist. But, I mean, look at the lives that cat destroyed, man. I mean, I don't know what the numbers were. I know it was 30, 40, 50 or more people, but that were tortured. And he was never really held accountable.
You're absolutely correct. And I would, again, remember I said I would welcome Donald John Trump if he would suddenly legalize marijuana on the federal level and let people out of prison who are there for a reefer. I would say the same thing to Rod Blagojevich. Okay, Rod, everybody pays attention to you. You have the media at your beck and call, and you're good friends with the president. Let's hear you go on a crusade for all the people who have been unfairly sentenced to prison because the confessions were tortured out of them.
Yeah.
You follow what? I don't see him talking about that.
No, not at all.
But this is the point I was going to make when I did the Clarence Thomas thing. This popped into my head. Get your comments on this, Monroe and Billy. It's not just black people who discover their blackness when they get in trouble. What was the lady's name, in addition to Clarence Thomas, the Miss America, Miss USA, when she got in trouble for those photographs?
Oh, yeah.
That was Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Williams, yeah.
White people do it, too. So when Bill Clinton got in trouble for the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Vanessa Williams. Vanessa Williams is black.
That's what he's
saying. I was saying, no, I'm saying that it's not just black people who find their inner blackness when they get in trouble, like Vanessa Williams or Clarence Thomas.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying. No, right. Okay.
And Bill Clinton, when he, if you recall, when he got in trouble for Monica Lewinsky, he suddenly sort of compared himself to like persecuted black people down through history and got Jesse Jackson to be very sympathetic to him. Black people rallied around him. And now I'm watching Rob Blagojevich do the same thing.
Well, Jesse and Bill had a certain, they were same cloth. Sabbatical too.
Monroe is suggesting something.
Was like black people are the go-to people for empathy. You know, it's like, well, let's go over there with the black. We in trouble. Yeah, we, you know, it's because like, black folks are very forgiving and generally very loving and caring people.
Well, we'll see how far this goes. We'll see if Rob Blagojevich takes this trip on the road, if he goes to black churches, if he goes to Operation Push, if he starts extolling the virtues of Donald John Trump, let's say, at Operation Push. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, see, I don't think Jesse's going to let him in. I don't
think
that's going to. No, yeah, right, exactly. Jesse is not pro-Trump at all.
No, I know that.
But
right, so he won't let it. He won't give him a platform.
No.
But weren't Jesse and Blagojevich, they were pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they were. If you recall, this goes way back in time when Blagojevich was a congressman. God, I can't believe I remember this stuff, Billy.
Yeah.
Jesse Jackson went on one of his missions to get a pilot released who was shot down. I could see the gentleman's face, the pilot's face, but I can't remember. I think it was Franklin was his name, but don't quote me on that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a mission. The pilot was, had been shot down over Yugoslavia during the Civil War. And, of course, Blagojevich is of Serbian ancestry. And so he joined Jesse Jackson. He went with Jesse Jackson on that mission to the former, I forget where it was. And I think they met with Milosevic, who was the president of, I cannot believe I remember this stuff. And so you're absolutely correct. There was a connection.
That was a convenience. That wasn't any true relationship or anything like that.
Well, if you really want to know what Rob Blagojevich thinks about Jesse Jackson and Jesse Jackson Jr., listen to the tapes that they released where Jesse Jackson Jr., he is just ripping Jesse Jackson Jr. And making fun of him.
Right.
Yeah, I'd forgotten.
Exactly. No, it's the same as Bloomberg is messing with Trump right now, saying how they laugh behind his back. Everybody, they talk about him and they laugh about him behind his back.
Yeah.
But you know,
which I'm sure is true.
But you know, the old adage, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows. All these cats talk about each other like dogs until it's time to get elected.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, there ain't no love there. You know, there ain't no love. It's all about, hey, you know, you help me out, I help you. You wash my back, I wash.
Right. Anyway, I can't imagine Jesse Jackson giving Blagojevich a platform at Push. I may be proven wrong, but I just can't imagine that.
Well, I can't imagine, let's put it this way. I can see Jesse Jackson allowing Rob Blagojevich to take the stage at Operation Push at a meeting in order, if nothing else, it'll draw attention to Operation Push. Every reporter in town will be there.
Yeah.
What I have a hard time believing is, and I really hope Jesse Jackson doesn't do this, is that he would allow Rob Blagojevich just free access to put out pro-Trump propaganda from the pulpit at Operation Push without any pushback.
I think that'll be a step way too far. I don't see him doing anything like that.
I just can't see that. That's a level of cynicism.
Well, you know, see,
I can't buy.
This is a dynamic that we have now that we didn't have years ago, and that's Reverend Al
Sharpton.
Yeah, Reverend Al can be a stop to Jesse because he has more of a public audience right now. And so if Jesse goes too far, Al can call him in on
call him out on it now.
So I just can't imagine Jesse being used that way. I mean, because black people dislike Trump so much in the aggregate,
mm-hmm.
so much that anybody who supports him is going to be on the wrong side.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because obviously his soul has been sold, bought, and paid for. I mean, that's it. He's going to be beholden for the rest of his days.
You talk about without
a doubt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, he's beholden, so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
All right, that's Billy Branch, Monroe Anderson in the studio as well. We're talking Blago and Trump and how far Blago will take it. We're going to take a break and switch gears when we come back to talk about tonight's debate and Bloomberg and Biden. Monroe already teased us. Will black voters switch their allegiance from Biden to Bloomberg? We'll be right back after this. Did you know that 40% of the people in Illinois opt to be cremated? Well, it's true. And Chicagoland Cremation Options honors their wishes by providing cremation services directly to the general public. Chicagoland Cremation Options provides an affordable, ethical, and easy cremation arrangement, whether in person or online. Save thousands and streamline the process by going directly to Chicagoland Cremation Options. It's a family-owned business operated by my good friend, Douglas Klein. Here's how you reach them. ChicagolandCremationOptions.com. One more time. ChicagolandCremationOptions.com.
It's Chicagoland's adult entertainment playground. It's the world-famous Admiral Theater. 3940 West Lawrence Avenue. The Admiral is homegrown from Chicago, and it's the most conveniently located club in all of the city. 15 minutes from the O'Hare Airport in downtown Chicago Loop. Voted Chicago's best strip club, the Admiral has showgirls galore and a variety of adult entertainment shows. The world-famous Admiral Theater. Open every day from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. 3940 West Lawrence Avenue. For events, showtime, and other information, visit AdmiralX.com. Must be 18 years of age or older to enter.
It's the butter cow, which has nine hearts to represent the nine essential nutrients in milk. That's right. It's made entirely out of butter. And, it, you know, it's a state fair tradition since at least 1922.